On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Come Monday, it'll be alright.
Fine. Rainy days, Mondays always get me down.
Whatever.
Tell me why
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why
I don't like Mondays.
It's just another manic Monday.
Monday, Monday. So good to me.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. It's true. Who are you? Yeah, I know. That's not necessary. This is a one-way street. There's no conversation involved. I talk, you listen. That's really very simple and convenient. Don't you get tired of conversation every once in a while? The exchange of ideas? Oh my God, it's so exhausting. Did you ever laugh so loud that you start crying and then you fart by mistake? You've laughed too much. Well, it is Monday, the start of another week. We're in December, as I understand it. I got a text yesterday telling me we were in December. I don't know otherwise. I have to get a text to realize everything. I have some type of notification on my phone where if it's going to rain a little bit, the phone starts flashing and it sends out sound waves and it's like, run for the hills, it's going to shower today. Oh, man. I mean, I don't mind the weather, but most of it's taking place outside. So if it's going to rain, I don't have a nutty fit. I don't call up my psychologist and say, oh my God, I can't handle this. It's going to be moist out today. I knew a guy who worked in a warehouse. That's not the end of the sentence. There's more to this. And he had some type of arthritis or something. I don't know what you call it, but he had something. And he knew a day before it was going to rain that it was going to rain. Sometimes he even knew a few days ahead of time. And I thought for a while, this is like voodoo stuff. This is like black magic or something. Like how could he know days ahead of rain? And he told me I have an arthritic situation and my thumbs start hurting. And then a few days later, it actually rains. Oh my God, that's awful. Or it's wonderful. Did you ever consider being a meteorologist? You wouldn't have to learn any maps. You just, when your thumb hurts, and then what, if your shoulder hurts, it's going to snow. I mean, what if it's windy, then your lips start getting chapped. What happens with you? You're wasting your talents working in a warehouse. You should be some kind of soothsayer for weather conditions. Realize your full potential, man. Use your skill as some type of a a venture. It's like a contortionist. You know, you're double jointed. Use that. Use that some. Join a circus. Do something with it. You know, we go through this thing called a midlife crisis, which happens usually not really in the mid anymore. It happens to some people when they turn 30. I know these women that have midlife crises. I think that's the plural of the word. I'm not sure. And I said, you're only 30 years old and you're having a midlife crisis. How long do you think you're going to live? It's kind of sad that people during their midlife crisis, it's not a crisis, by the way. I'll give you a real crisis if you want a real crisis. That's not a big deal. That's like midlife, fairly uncomfortable confusion. That's what that should be. It's not a crisis. You don't even know what a crisis is. You haven't lived through a crisis. Well, we did the past year or two. Anyway, yeah, come on, man. Yeah, baby. Midlife crisis, my ass. Yeah, people around the age of 30 start like wondering, like, well, I haven't achieved my goals. I'm not who I want to be. Who do you want to be? You haven't achieved your goals. What do you think? You're special? Do you think that you as a human being by the age of 30 must achieve your goals? What are you, nuts? It doesn't work like that. Who told you that? Your guidance counselor in high school? You don't achieve your goals at 30 years old. You don't achieve your goals ever, usually. Do you know how many people go through life without achieving their goals? Come on, man. I know this is a wonderful country of opportunity, but on the other hand, it's kind of not. You don't chart your own course, you idiot. That's what they tell you. You know, you can chart your, you can be anybody you want to be. No, you can't. You cannot. You can't be anybody you want to be. That's up to other people. What do you think? The person that hires you is there for you? No, they're there for them. This world is full of people that are out for themselves. It's survival of the fittest, which does not include you. Well, then you have to chart your own course. Chart away. But unless you're in the ocean by yourself, it ain't going to work like that. So don't, when you're 30 years old, start going through this midlife crisis. Oh, it's a crisis. What am I going to do? It's a crisis. It's a crisis. I'll tell you what a crisis is. You go for a bowl of cereal, you pour the cereal in the bowl, and then you go in the refrigerator and get the milk, and you're out of milk. That's a crisis. Not achieving your goals in life? Stupid. Cereal, no milk. Crisis. Not achieving your goals? So what? Have I overplayed that dramatic music or what? I promise I won't do that again. Look, I charted my own course. Yeah, stop with it. Stop with it, man. Do you know what fulfills you in life? Your job? No, not really. Not for most people. Unless when they were born as a fetus, they said, I can't wait to get older and work at McDonald's. I don't think that was the case. Although, on the other hand, some McDonald's managers make well over $100,000. I know. I don't know either. I don't get it either, but yeah, it's a fact. They do better than you do. Yeah, most people don't reach their goals. So what do? You reach your goals in other ways in which you are in total command, in which you can chart your own course for sure. And the most popular way of being fulfilled is having a baby. If you're a woman, that's a biological fulfillment. Maybe, maybe not. Because it's really not. It could be, but it's not. For a man, I don't know what your point is. Look, not everybody should have children. I swear that's the case. Not everybody is built or designed to bring up a child. Seriously. Have you met some of these adults that are roaming the earth? Some of these people, some of these adult-aged people, have you met some of them? Oh my God. It's amazing that they can walk at all. Stupid sons of bitches. Who have no other talent whatsoever but to pump out children. I'm sorry. Unless you have a lot of money in this society, you can't pump out children like that and just like leave them to starve in the corner of the room with nothing but a little bag of peanuts, if you can even afford that. That's not good. That's not admirable. If you walk around and you're proud that you had 12 children, there should be some jail time involved. Look, I mean, I know a lot of people that were brought up in families where they had like 3 brothers and 4 sisters, and they were always in the middle. Well, you have to be. The odds are going to be you're in the middle when you have that many children in your family. But, I mean, I have to look at the people that had so many children and say to them, you must have been unfulfilled. You must have been unfulfilled, and this was the only way that you could find any meaning in life. Hey, you know, whatever floats your boat as you chart your course. It's not for me. It might be for you. There was an old woman who lived in a shoe, had so many children she didn't know what to do, so she kept on having children. I don't think that's the end of the little poem, but that's the end result. She had so many children she didn't know what to do. Whose fault is that, honey? And then on top of it, you're living in a shoe. I mean, seriously, if I was living in a shoe, I wouldn't bring children into the world. I'd be more concerned about getting out of the shoe. Get out of shoe business. She had so many children she didn't know what to do. Oh, wonder how that happened. Was this immaculate conception with a shoelace? How the hell did you have, how many fathers, how many shoe salesmen did it take for you to have all these children? You got to put them through school. You've got to clothe them, feed them, care for them, protect them. You got to set your limits. I'm serious. You got to stop this. Someone must remove a part of your body that is causing this horrible problem. You know, and I've talked about this before, there was a law in China for quite some time that you couldn't have a lot of children because the population was getting crazy. And it was a very sexist situation. We can get into that some other day, but I really don't feel like it right now because it's Monday and I'm not equipped. And just recently, they lifted the ban in China where now you don't have to have a limited number of children. I think it was only 1 or 2. I love it when they do the data and the averages, and they say, you know, every married couple has 2.3 children. I like to see the 0.3 child. What is a 0.3? Would you have half a child? Yes, not very tall. We don't consider him an entire person, just half of one. He never got that large, so it's a half a child. Well, that's not true. The data is making it weird. I don't know. But that's how most people fulfill their lives, by having children, because I think one of the reasons, if you have a lot of kids, I think there has to, either you came from a large family and you're totally uncomfortable with anything less, or you just can't do other stuff, and this is the only way you can feel worthy. You know, you've bet all your money on the vagina, you know. I don't know. Whatever. Now, do you know what really fulfills one in life? I'll tell you, for $20. I got to make money somehow. You send me $20, I'll tell you what really fulfills you in life. All right, I'll tell you for free. Although it's really worth more than $20. All right, here's what really fulfills you in life. Hobbies. And the word hobby doesn't really justify what I'm talking about. I would say that everybody on this planet, and I mean everybody on this planet, has something that they do really well. You might be a total fuck up in every sense of the word, but there's one thing that you do really well. Rather than call it a hobby, I call it a special talent. If you're into collecting Barbie dolls, and some people are, and have a collection of like 500 Barbie dolls, as grossly ridiculous as that actually is, it's also a hobby and a focus and an achievement. Not to me, but to you. And if it's to you, that's all that matters, because you're charting your own course. Here's a happy life, and here's an unhappy life. A happy life is when you satisfy yourself. Let's call it playing with a vibrator all your life, or self-masturbation, which is redundant. That means you're pleasuring yourself, you're satisfying yourself, you are golden. You can put a smile on your face and say, I matter to me, and that's all that really matters. If you put all your money and all your stock in something else, and everything you do is based on how many people appreciate it or even know you're doing it, then your life is a bit more difficult to execute. Everybody has some type of special talent. Some people develop it in their lifetimes, some people don't. But it doesn't really matter. If you realize that you have a special talent, then you're good. It could be playing music. It could be writing. It could be something. You could be a contortionist and you can put yourself in a box. I love contortionism as an example for a lot of things, obviously, if you've listened to the show a lot. Again, if you're double jointed, do something with it. Join the circus. Because not everybody is double jointed. And those that can take that talent of double jointism, again, not a word, and turn it into a profession and something that you can really appreciate and other people can appreciate too, that's a double reward. Doing something that other people appreciate. Now you're saying, Ron, that sounds very selfish, that all you really should do is be pleasuring yourself in life. Well, yes, because that's a first step. If you can't pleasure yourself, you can't pleasure other people. If you can't love yourself, you can't love other people. That's a fact. I didn't make that up. Well, partially I did, but it makes a lot of sense. You can't satisfy others until you satisfy yourself. And if you yourself are unsatisfied, yet you're satisfying other people, you're a prostitute. A prostitute contortionist? You got it made. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Just trying to help you out. You know, some people tour the country with these self-motivation things. They stand on a stage, they sell tickets to a self-motivation lecture. They fill up auditoriums, and some woman or man who is supposedly successful in life, who is quite rich and successful, an entrepreneur, do you know what they do for a living? They stand on stages and collect money from you. That's their specialty. And you're sitting there like, oh, this is interesting. It's not interesting. You're being taken. They're doing well because of your stupidity. It's called Trumpism. They stand on a stage and they just stand there and walk back and forth. They pace a lot because they don't do much else but talk and pace. And they talk to a crowd of 500, 1,000 people sitting in an audience, and they try to motivate them to go out and conquer the world. Yeah, that's how Putin got started. Not lecturing, but being told, go out and conquer the world, Mr. Putin. Well, I think I will. That was a very successful lecture for Putin. For the rest of us, not so much. I went to one of those once when I was like in my 20s, early 20s. It was like 8 in the morning. And I bought a ticket. I think it was only $10. And I sat in the audience and some schmuck got up on stage and started motivating me and telling me that I could have my own business and be a billion zillionaire. Obviously, when someone tells you that, you give them a little bit of your time and a little bit of your money, I suppose, if you're young and naive. Guy stood there for like an hour and a half and talked at me. This is before they had cell phones, so I really had nothing to do. So I sat there in the audience and I listened to him. And when it was over, I felt really motivated. I felt like I could conquer the world. I felt like I could be the most successful person at doing anything I wanted to do. And I walked out of that auditorium, as the other 1,000 people did, feeling on top of the world. We are going to take over this world and be happy and successful and be a wonderful person and motivated, and everything's going to be great. I walked out of that auditorium. Across the street was a bar. Sat there, got shit-faced, forgot everything they told me. Not that that would have worked anyway. And that was the end of that. Kissing my $10 goodbye and wasting an hour and a half of my time. That's a business. That's a thing. No, you got to motivate yourself. You know what the greatest motivation is? Meeting somebody on a personal level who is doing okay. Doesn't have to be a billionaire or zillionaire. Doesn't have to be Steve Gutenberg or Mark Steitenberg. Who's the guy that owns that that Facebook? Josh Rogan? Steve Muttendale? Something Buttendale? I don't know his name. I do know his name. I just can't remember it. You don't have to be him. Just talk to a person that has a good job, has a good family, seems to live in a nice place. That's all you really want. That's all you really want. Here's the funny thing about life, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll end my motivational speaking tour for today. Here's the funny thing about it. There's a phrase, and it's the grass is greener on the other side. The grass is always greener on the other side. And if you lived next to a neighbor who keeps their lawn really nice, that's literally true. But the idea of that phrase is that you think things are good on the other side of the fence. Just get into their lives a little bit. You'll find out just how crappy their lives are. Because people don't see the downside of things when they're just glancing at it. You can meet a really nice couple, guy and a girl, two guys, two girls, whatever. Really nice couple, nice family, couple of kids, which is supposed to be ideal. And they're just happy, and they both have wonderful, fulfilling jobs, and the kids just seem really well adjusted. I mean, you know, they live in a nice place, and, you know, they just seems great. Because all you're doing is just seeing the exterior. You don't argue with your spouse when you're with other people. Some do, but most don't. It's behind the closed doors that you find out, ooh, they have problems. They have big problems. I never knew that. Ron, did you know that that couple down the street, they have a thing and a sting and a fur? I didn't know that. They seem so nice. Oh, they're going through hell. They're going through real hell. I didn't know. That's because the grass always looks greener on the other side. So that's what that means. Fact is, your life isn't so bad. Stop comparing it to other things that you don't know the whole story about. But it is a motivator. It is a motivator. And that's usually all that we need, some form of motivation. Now, for the past almost half hour, I've been doing like a motivational speaking. Am I asking anybody for money to pay me for this motivational speech that has gone on for almost half an hour? I'm not asking for any money. Am I asking for your love? No. God, no. Am I asking for your support? Maybe. Well, then, Ron, what are you asking us for? Just don't be so stupid. That's all I'm asking you for. If there's one thing that I wish upon this earth, one thing, just one thing, cut down on the stupidity. That's right. We really should wipe out poverty, and we should protect the environment and the planet and all those things and the rights of individuals, and you know that's very important. No, the most important thing that would solve everything: get rid of the stupid people. Jeff Bezos, you got a little rocket ship that launches people into orbit? Put them all on there at once like Noah's Ark. God should be commanding somebody on this planet. God should speak to Noah and say, screw all the animals. I mean, not literally. Screw that idea about getting two of every animal on this ark. No, forget that. I am God and I am telling you, get all the stupid people on the ark. Build an ark that's big enough to handle all the really stupid people and get them out of here. That's your command. That will save the planet. God, if you're listening, and I'm not sure that God listens to this show, probably more important things to do, but that would be really, really nice. Get the stupid people out of here. You don't have to kill them or anything. Just put them somewhere where I don't have to deal with them anymore. If you got rid of all the stupid people, which is a large task, if you got rid of all the stupid people, all the problems would be solved. Every single problem would be solved by the smart, caring, common sense people. Yeah, yeah, there'd be no more wars, no more disagreement, no death, no blight, nothing, because smart people know better than that. Get rid of the stupid people. And I'm not wishing them harm in any way, shape, or form. I don't know, maybe a little discomfort, but no harm. Just get them, put them somewhere else. Get them away from me. Let's call it a stupid people pandemic, which it kind of has turned out to be. Stupid people have to be at least 6 feet away from me. It's like a gigantic restraining order. Keep the stupid people away from me. 500 yards. Get them out of here. I'm sick of them. Of course, stupid people are kind of in the eyes of the beholder. I'm the beholder, and so are you. Ladies and gentlemen, have yourselves a wonderful day. Thanks for listening to this free motivational speech, and I wish you peace.